From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. In case you didn't hear it last Friday, today we are re-airing our Year in Review program. It looks back on the biggest news stories of 2023. You'll hear the good and the bad, the inspiring and the tragic, and everything in between in chronological order. We love hearing what you think about our program. What news affected you most this year? How are you thinking about 2023? Send us an email. Talk at 21stshow.org is the address. Talk at 21stshow.org. And now our year in review through the biggest news stories we covered here on The 21st Show. Coming to you today from the capital city at the Bank of Springfield Center, where in a bit less than an hour, Pritzker and Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton will be sworn in for their second terms after a decisive victory in November's election.
I'm honored to stand alongside you as we face the battles ahead together as one Illinois.
Thank you for trusting me with this responsibility.
Do not pass half measures and go home. Do not surrender to the politics of self-preservation on behalf of our children.
So thank you, Illinois, for putting your trust in me, for making me the new Secretary of State of the great state of Illinois.
In what's being described as one of the first cases of its kind, two emergency medical technicians in Springfield, Illinois, are being charged with murder over the death of 35-year-old Earl Moore Jr. while he was in their care. Focusing on Illinois' new law on assault weapons. It's known formally as the Protect Illinois Communities Act, House Bill 5471.
Even bearing arms, if you go back in history, look at how gun codes or black codes were written, they have always been racist. Right? And this is no different. This is no different. This is going to affect the black community tremendously. It's going to affect all communities of Illinois.
We're going to talk about the fire earlier this month at the Planned Parenthood facility in Peoria. Tyler Wayne Massengill of Chillicothe was charged in federal court for malicious use of fire and an explosive to damage a property used for interstate commerce. But the case of Tyree Nichols has a distinction. The officers involved looked like the victim. That is, the five police officers who beat Nichols were black themselves. Detective Trapp, can you speak on that? Do you feel supported?
I want to be very cognizant of how I articulate that. Actually, no comment.
People in Turkey and Syria continue dealing with the aftermath of an earthquake that has so far killed 36,000. Compare that to the 2011 earthquake that devastated the Fukushima area of Japan, which resulted in the deaths of more than 19,000 people. If approved by the Senate and the House and signed into law by the governor, there would be a commission that would study the possibility of a new state flag for Illinois.
Well, I see a seal on a bedsheet, and I see a state who felt its symbolism had failed, and it had to write its name on the flag.
Efforts are still underway to clean up the toxic mess that occurred in East Palestine, Ohio, following a train derailment that spilled hazardous chemicals in the small town of 4,000 people. On Friday night, seven states were struck by several dozen tornadoes. That's according to the Storm Prediction Center at the National Weather Service. Illinois was not spared, and the storms hit in every region of our state. In Belvedere, in northern Illinois, one man died and several dozen more were injured when a roof collapsed during a sold-out concert at the Apollo Theater.
Stay with me, okay? I am not leaving you.
Over the past month, three Illinois universities have had labor disputes with faculty that, as of today, have resulted in strikes. First up, the Chicago State University faculty struck last Monday. Then, on Thursday, Eastern Illinois University faculty walked off the job in Charleston. That's the sound we just heard. And as of this morning, the faculty at Governor State University in the south suburbs of Chicago, they are also on strike. Some rural Illinois communities have already taken matters into their own hands by organizing co-ops, grocery stores owned by community members, and in many cases, working closely with local farmers.
In a small town like ours, transportation, one, becomes a problem. We don't have a lot of availability to travel to outside markets to shop. And then once that becomes available, they have to spend almost a day to go and come back home to shop, where buying things like ice cream and other items becomes a problem.
And just Monday, Central Illinois experienced a dust storm. It blinded motorists on Interstate 55, leading to a crash involving 72 vehicles. From that, there were dozens of hospitalizations and 7 people died.
Getting these areas of blowing dust is not all that uncommon here across parts of central Illinois, especially this time of year.
And now we're going to turn to flooding in the Quad Cities. The Mississippi River had been rising for a couple of weeks. Water levels reached near record levels. I believe it crested on Monday.
What was really unique about this year compared to all other flood years that we have decent records for is that this flood was 95% snow melt driven.
Illinois was among their number, and it's become something of an island in the Midwest, surrounded by states that have been ratcheting up anti-abortion laws. But what happens when a city in Illinois wants to go against the prevailing view among state officials? That is the case in Danville, which last week passed a city ordinance that would ban the shipping of abortion medication and tools in an effort to become a quote-unquote sanctuary city for the unborn.
He tells me he's heard from other communities in the state that are interested in this sort of thing. He couldn't tell me exactly where. I asked more questions about that, and he says, who's to say that one hasn't been drafted already, one being another ordinance. So I wouldn't be surprised if in the near future we see this come up on the agenda of another city council in Illinois.
We start today's program with a scandal involving a private jet, a visit to a strip club, and a multi-million dollar pledge. It sounds like the start of a new political thriller coming soon on Amazon Prime. But in fact, it's a true story about the athletics program at Illinois State University. A partial building collapse in Davenport, Iowa, in the Quad Cities killed 3 people late last month.
And you're putting your trust in these people. So you see a crack and you're like, oh, it's probably nothing. Or like the city inspector has been there. And I had my fair share of problems. So it's just sort of frustrating as a renter that you're putting your trust in all these people and then something like this sort of just happens. I remember because my current apartment is right across from it. So I remember in late winter, it had to be about February, I started to notice like the exterior wall, it didn't look quite right. I could see something like, and of course I could only see so far and could only assume it looked like it was starting to bulge then.
Meanwhile, many companies in recent years have gotten in on the Pride action with merchandise, advertisements, and more. But what's been different this year is the level of blowback some brands have gotten over that. And then there's also Target. The company put up Pride displays, as it's done every year for some time now, in stores across the country. But anger and some misinformation around the merchandise collection and some of the products in it led to its own wave of conservative backlash. And before Pride Month even started, the company announced it would be pulling some parts of its collection from its stores. Again, LGBTQ groups and people condemned Target for doing what it did.
The state just put out data it collected to say that of all the corporations which are certified here in the state by the state, only 4 of them have out LGBTQ plus people on their boards of directors.
This past Friday, a pair of hospitals in Northern Illinois closed their doors. St. Margaret's Health in both Spring Valley and Peru had been serving the Illinois Valley for 120 years. Administrators cited the COVID-19 pandemic and a ransomware attack among the reasons for the closures.
Yes, I would definitely say that small and medium-sized businesses, they may think that they're not a target because they're not big enough or interesting enough, but I can tell you that's absolutely not the case. And you absolutely have to prioritize your cybersecurity or you're running the risk of your business going under in a matter of days or weeks.
Tomorrow marks 1 year since a mass shooting took place in Highland Park, Illinois, during the city's 4th of July parade.
I think I expressed some anger that we were going through this, that we had to go through this, that people were able to obtain military weapons that were designed solely to kill people.
You have no doubt heard Northwestern University has been in the news of late. The private institution on Lake Michigan is known for its excellent law school, leading medical work, and renowned journalism program. And now it's also known for tolerating years of sexualized hazing among members of its football team.
Look, he would be 34 years old now, and we want what every parent wants for their child, to live a full, happy, safe, productive life. You know, I certainly cannot help but think, would Harrison have been married now, perhaps have children? What would his career have been? Where would he have taken it?
We're going to be talking about the severe storms that left a trail of destruction across parts of Illinois last Thursday. Many areas saw winds of up to 100 miles per hour, and according to the National Weather Service, parts of West Central Illinois experienced winds of up to 120 miles an hour. There were at least 5 confirmed tornadoes as part of these storms. The damage was extensive.
Everybody clap your hands. Clap. Clap, clap, clap your hands. Clap.
Sadly,
clap.
DJ Casper died earlier this month from liver and kidney cancers. He was 58 years old, and services are tomorrow in Chicago.
The Marion County Record is a newspaper based in Kansas. Its namesake county has a population of about 11,700 people. The paper recently became the subject of nationwide attention after its newsroom was raided by local police. Across the country, First Amendment advocates and experts have called the raid unprecedented, and it even caught the attention of the White House. You mentioned you believe your mother's death had something to do with this raid.
She was extremely upset. She would not eat. She would not sleep. She wouldn't go to bed. She didn't go to bed until close to 7 in the morning the next day. And when she got up, she said she didn't feel quite well. She'd gone to the restroom and a few other things, came back to her bedroom. And I said, well, you probably need to eat something. You haven't had anything to eat. Didn't have anything to eat yesterday. Didn't have anything to eat this morning. Haven't taken your medicine this morning. Do you want to do it here in the bedroom or in the kitchen or in the living room? Where do you want to do it? She says, I don't know. I don't know whether I feel like I can. And at that moment, died.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely a moment of a lot of concern for the community of Peoria. We had 6 people shot overnight, followed by, 3 additional people shot later that morning. So, and there were 2 homicides. Now, as far as I'm aware, there's not been arrests in either of those homicides yet, but whenever you have a spree of violence like that in such a short amount of time, it certainly does cause concern in the community. Several of the schools were also locked down while this was going on, so students and parents also concerned.
Starting today, people accused of crimes in Illinois can no longer pay money to get out of jail while they wait for their trial. The change is part of a bigger package of legislation known formally as the Safety Act. 5 people are dead, including 2 children, and hundreds had to be evacuated from their homes after a semi-truck carrying several thousand gallons of anhydrous ammonia crashed on U.S. Route 40 Friday night. It happened near Tutopolis, a village just a few miles east of Effingham in central Illinois.
In which the Sangamon County Coroner Jim Allman held a news conference, which is quite rare for the coroner to do. And he was contacted by a local hospital here in the area in the county that said, we have a body that has been in the morgue for more than a month, and nobody's come to pick it up, even though the family has made arrangements with this funeral home from Carlinville. Hines Funeral Home is the name. And the coroner said he contacted the family. The family says, oh, we have cremated remains already. And turns out it was not the right cremated remains because the person was still in the morgue, this family member.
Thousands of people have died so far in the massacre carried out by the terrorist group Hamas against Israel and Israel's retaliation against Hamas in Gaza, with many Palestinian civilian casualties as a result of that campaign. It's the worst outbreak of violence in the region in decades, and it shows no signs of slowing down.
The United States unequivocally stands for the protection of civilian life during conflict, and I grieve, I truly grieve for the families who were killed or wounded by this tragedy.
In court Monday, prosecutors said that Joseph Kazuba had knocked on the door of his tenants, the Al-Fayoumis, Wadir and his mother, Shaheen, and he told Wadir's mother that he was upset about the war between Hamas and Israel. Prosecutors said he had become kind of obsessed with the war there. And she suggested that they pray about the war, and he became angry with her. He choked her and stabbed her, prosecutors said. And you know, she fled to her bathroom and called 911. When she came out, she found her son had been fatally stabbed 26 times. The knife was still in Whittier.
If you live in northern Illinois, around the Putnam County area, you might have recently been woken up by an earthquake. Did you feel it? The quake had a magnitude of 3.6, which means it was a level 3 light quake on the U.S. Geological Survey's Trembler Intensity Scale.
So the news this week was that U.S. Steel, the Pittsburgh-based parent company, had sent more than 1,000 notices to employees of layoffs because they were indefinitely shutting down the blast furnace where they make the steel. And some important context here to understand is that back in September, U.S. Steel said it would temporarily idle the furnace. And that September decision would lead to 400 temporary layoffs that would last less than 6 months. So Tuesday's decision was just making what was once thought to be temporary to be more permanent. And the confusion.
That was our local news year in review. Coming up after the break, politics in Springfield and Washington. It's the 21st show. Stay with us.